Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral. And we are here with two very, very special people, very close friends of mine who are so filled with the Holy Spirit.
Thank
and
you.
And so filled with the love of the Blessed Mother. And Patrick and Monica Bartolik are here in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having us.
And Patrick, very, very soon, I say very soon, it's all relative, but God willing, and they say Bishop willing, Patrick will be ordained as a deacon, a permanent deacon, in October, I believe, of this year. Is that correct?
October 28th.
October 28th. I'll mark it on my calendar. And what an incredible, incredible journey. And it was so wonderful to meet Patrick and Monica. In fact, I was one of the very first people to meet you in this diaconate journey because I was part of the interview process. And I just knew that the Holy Spirit was just upon both of you. And so tell us your journey, Monica, tell us your journey in terms of just falling in love with Jesus.
Well, he took me from the darkness to the light. And the day I hear his word, I knew that I would not leave him again. So that's happened 25 years ago. And from that day, it has been just a beautiful journey to open and open more. And I'm surprised where he's doing in our life.
We're here to talk about love in action, how much Jesus loves us, and how that leads to action. It's kind of, Patrick, like a cause and effect.
Right.
You know, Jesus loves us. We open our heart to receive that love, and we're like compelled to act.
Right, right. Yeah, and I always think of my grandmother who it was just heartfelt. It was there. She didn't need anything else. For me, it's been an intellectual journey. It's been more of a struggle. But I always say that both cradle Catholics and those that convert always have some moment that, an epiphany moment where the story becomes real. God's love becomes real. And, for both Monica and I know we've had that happen to both of us.
We are on Empowered by the Spirit, and our ministry is called Spirit-Filled Hearts. And when I think of Spirit-Filled Hearts and our ministry here, and by the way, it's spiritfilledhearts.org is our website. And if you want to reach me, it's Deacon Steve at spiritfilledhearts.org. But as I think about this ministry, I think of you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all about the heart of Jesus, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And both of you have such a big heart. And it starts with receiving the love of Christ into our hearts and then taking our hearts and just loving other people passionately. And Monica, you know, with your Bible studies and the things that you do in ministry, that's what you do.
Well, after you meet Jesus, how you can say no to him? You know, and he asks in things that we just can't end up hands. And you know, like when they ask him to open our home, it was like, yeah, that's his home. And when asking anything to do for him, we just cannot say no, because we know the blessing of having him in our life. So today we have consecrated our life to him and to Holy Mother, and not only to ourselves, but everything that we belong, everything that we have, you know, our family, our home, our financial, our destiny is belong to him and his Holy Mother. So today we're just follow whatever he calling us.
And Monica, through our Spanish-speaking audience, which is immense, give them a message of how much God loves them and how much the Blessed Mother loves them in Spanish.
El regalo que nos dio Jesús a través de la Virgen María a los mexicanos en nuestro idioma es algo que no podemos negar, el amor de la madre. El amor de la madre nos fortalece y nos hace mejores hijos. Así que les recuerdo que el amor de la madre es la fortaleza al amor al padre.
And what did you say to our Spanish or English speaking?
I say that the gift that God gave us to the Spanish to come through Holy Mother to Mexico through Our Lady of Guadalupe, and the strength that the mother gave to our kids to love our father deeper is something that we just cannot forget. And I highly recommend everybody to go back to the mother to come to love our father with more deeper obedience as she did.
And when I just got back a short time ago from a pilgrimage to Our Lady of Guadalupe, and to see the love of our Blessed Mother in Mexico, the people camping out, you know, you guys have been there, I know. They camp out, they come in from all over Mexico, and they camp out right there at the Basilica. And that cathedral is unbelievable, by
Beautiful.
The way. I met the cardinal there. It was amazing.
Oh my gosh.
But, you know, there's a scripture here, Patrick, out of Jeremiah. It's kind of like what we've been talking about here. It says, you seduce me, Lord, and I let myself be seduced. You were too strong for me, and you prevailed. And on it says, it was like a fire burning in my heart, imprisoned in my bones. I grow weary, holding back. I cannot.
Mm.
And this is Jeremiah 20, verses 7 to 9. And what this means is the fact that when God calls you,
right.
And in John 15, 16, it says, it's not you who called me, but I who called you and appointed you to bear fruit and fruit that will remain. There's this fire burning inside of us. And tell us about that in your life.
Wow, that's a beautiful passage, overwhelming, because like I said a moment ago, I think there's an epiphany that goes off in all of us at some moment as believers in God and Christ. And when that happens, it's hard not to recognize that everything you have is a gift, and that God called in this first commandment to love the Father with all your heart and soul, but then to remember to love your neighbor as you love yourself. How do you not, once you recognize we're all children of God, the same Father, how do you not want to reach out? How can you not be aware? And I always say that in all our learning and all our education, one of the things that I think is missing is that it's not an option to give. It's an obligation. It's an obligation to give. And I wish we taught that better with all our credentials and all our degrees. The one thing I think missing is to remind people that as you go and get, be reminded that you're called to give.
Well, we are called to give and called to make a difference. And that's what a lot of people just don't understand. I see people going to various events, various Bible studies or different things. And that's wonderful. And thank God you're doing that, and praise God. But it's also to understand the reason you do that is to make a difference in other people's lives. You know, and that's what is so important. We look at First John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, because love is God, and whoever loves is begotten by God and knows God. And it's so important to understand that, as it says in verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also must love one another, is that we receive God's love and then we give it out. And Monica, you do that, and tell us about your Bible study and other things that you're doing.
You know, every Thursday morning I get up and get ready for the ladies to come, and I offer to God that I will do the best and make sure that He is the center of our life, and that they help me to get the rest of the week ready to remember that He's the center of our life. One thing, I know I'm not perfect. I do the best, and I tell God, thank you for it's only 24 hours, so I can do the best today, and if in case I don't do it, I have another chance tomorrow. So I open my house, my heart, and my willingness to give it to Him. And the fruit is just, you know, I never know who's going to come that day. You know, some of the ladies, I can see that it's a very special day for them. But they do, you know, that it's more special to me, because they God bring them to my life.
And they see Jesus in you, and which is so important. Yeah.
Definitely.
And they see the Blessed Mother in you. And Patrick, that's a big part of when you reach out to other people in the love of Jesus. What we're doing is that we're just being His hands, His eyes, His heart. We're being Jesus to the people around us. And that's a big part, I know, of what you do. And we're going to get into some examples of that after the break. But it led you to to saying yes to him. I do want to apply and go through this diaconate formation.
Right, right. I always say that there are great heroes in my life who've been there for me and have pointed me and kept pointing me. You're one of them, Deacon Steve, along this journey. But how did I get there? And it was, I think there's those seeds planted by great saints in my mind, like Mother Teresa and John Paul and St. Catherine of Siena, that did everything they could to reach out and see the plight, the need of others. And I love, one of my personal favorite sayings is Mother Teresa's "Small things with great love." You were talking about that a moment ago. And it is such a small thing, but it's so meaningful to people. A smile on a day when someone hasn't had a smile. These are things that touch people's hearts, and I think that we're all called to do that, to be aware of the needs of others.
And in terms of being aware of the needs, to be aware of when God puts things in your life, we're going to be right back to talk about an extraordinary thing that Patrick and Monica has done as it relates to building a school in Africa. We'll be right back.
Would you like an opportunity to read and discuss inspiring books by bright Catholic authors? The OC Catholic Book Club offers quarterly book titles reviewed and chosen by Bishop Kevin Vann. Every 3 months, members gather to meet the author and hear informed commentary about the book by local church scholars. Membership in the OC Catholic Book Club includes 4 books and tickets to the author forums. For more information, visit occatholic.com/oc-catholic-book-club or call 714-282-3045.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are back on Empowered by the Spirit with two very, very special people, Monica and Patrick Bartolik. And Patrick is a diaconate candidate in the Diocese of Orange. God willing and Bishop willing, as they say, yes. On October 28th will be ordained, and we will be very, very blessed when that happens. You are an inspiration. You both are an inspiration to me. And our show is called Love in Action, and both of you have so much love. And you also are very attuned to when something comes in your life, you pray,
yes.
And you reflect and you discern. But you also know that there may be and often is a purpose to it. So my brothers and sisters, have your eyes open. You know, in 2 Corinthians 3:16, it talks about having a veil over our eyes. But when we turn to Jesus, that veil is removed. And so someone came into your life, and this is an amazing story, Father Henry. Right. And tell us about that, Patrick, in terms of he shows up at the parish, was it?
Yeah, he showed up at our parish. He was saying Mass and just had an incredible sort of halo quality about his the Mass that day, and then he shared that he was reaching out to try to help some kids in Africa who were orphans, and that he was hoping to build a well for them and just so they could have clean drinking water. And clearly it touched our hearts.
And this was in Kenya?
Kenya, Africa, northern part of Kenya, impoverished from long period of war and then vast amounts of AIDS and death of parents. And so there's large numbers of children by themselves.
So he comes in 2002, if I remember, to Our Lady Queen of Angels in Newport Beach, California. And he comes there without any money, right, to speak of?
We after Mass, we invited him to see if he might join us for lunch or dinner. And it worked out. He said, gee, I'd love to join you for dinner. And so we went to dinner. We had no idea. And as we were chatting with him that night, we took him to a seafood restaurant down on the water along the coast. And I'm sure it was sort of overwhelming to him. We weren't really thinking about it. And we began discussing, and it ended up him sharing that he arrived with $20 in his pocket.
And a lot of faith.
A lot of faith.
Faith is big as a mustard seed, my brothers and sisters. Will you say, move, mountain, and you will move. Amen.
Amen.
So
Amen.
He shows up with $20, and no suitcase, right?
No suitcase, no luggage, no cameras, no computer, $20, and he had a plastic bag that he was carrying his clothes in.
So I asked him, explain me, how did this... Tell me, how is Kenya? He said, I don't know. He said, you have photos. And he said, I don't. I said, Father, can I give you a camera? You take photos, send it to me so I can see what you try to tell me. Because for my English, I couldn't understand. So the next morning, I took him to buy a camera, and he was just so grateful. Mm-hmm. And I knew that that camera will send us photos where people can see what he was talking about. And when he started sending photos and everything, his ministry grew and grew. And that's how we see all these photos of these beautiful kids and the beautiful that he's doing.
This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit, high atop the Tower of Hope with Patrick and Monica Portolik. And we're talking about a school in Kenya that they were part of with a whole group of people, certainly, from Our Lady Queen of Angels, I believe, of building a school. But certainly the two of them very much catalyst in this whole process. And so Father Henry comes with no money. You gave him direction. They wanted to build a well because we know clean water. We work with Wells of Life. We'll do a shout out to them. And they do wells in Uganda. But certainly throughout Africa, there's a great need for, and many parts of the world, a great need for clean water. So we had the well that had to be done, approximately $10,000, I think, that they were looking to build.
That's right.
To get. And he preaches at every Mass. And you could, and I, obviously, I've met him just the one time. But the Holy Spirit was upon him, and I don't know how many Masses he preached at, but at the end of it, five Masses, and at the end of it, how much money was
$97,000. Yeah, praise the Lord. Is that amazing? He was overwhelmed, Deacon Steve, and I have to tell you, it was overwhelmed to the point of tears. This is a man that they debated with the bishop whether they'd spend the $1,000 or $800 on the ticket to come at all, or whether it would be a waste of their time. And would they be wasting money that these children needed just simply to have food on the table? And so he comes and he is able to build the well, buy a couple of mini buses to move the kids around, and begin building his dream, an orphanage and a school with these monies.
So he got the $97,000, clearly 100% from the Lord, through the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And then what happened from there?
You know, he went back and built his wells and began the orphanage and the school. And then a foundation was started that Monica and I were involved in the beginning. And it mushroomed from there. And today, the AfricanChildFoundation.org continues to support him. And it reached out in many ways. It allowed people to support individual children with monthly donations, and it's still active and still in need. And I would encourage people to go to the website and be willing to donate it if they can. It's AfricanChildFoundation.org.
AfricanChildFoundation.org. And he's come back again, and tell us about that and you know, more exposure. And how many people from your community have been involved in this process?
Well, Father Henry said to me one day, I had two ministries now. I had a ministry in Kenya, and I had a ministry in Newport Beach in California. So when he come, he ministered us to how to do this. So there has been 1,000 people now involved in this.
Whoa.
And there is very committed people like Ralph and Margaret who are very committed. There is people that have been just dedicate their time now to helping Father Henry in this ministry.
And what's so important, my brothers and sisters, is to understand that God is the God of miracles.
Mm-hmm.
As it says in Mark 11, 24, you know, when we trust in him, when we believe in him, when we reach out to him, we can be assured that he'll answer us. And it says, therefore, I tell you that all you ask for in prayer, believe that you'll receive it and shall be yours. So when you pray, believe, expect God to act, expect God's miracles. And Father Henry, what an example to come here with virtually no money, no luggage, no computer, no anything. But he believed. And when you have faith, that's what happens. And verse 22 and 23 of Mark 11, it says, Jesus said to them, have faith in God. Mm. Amen. I say to you, whoever says this mountain be lifted up and thrown in the sea does not doubt in your heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it shall be done for him. So my brothers and sisters, what I'm saying, what the Holy Spirit is saying to you right now, is the Holy Spirit has put in many of you this particular idea to make a difference. Right. This idea of whatever it might be to feed the poor, to nourish those that are homeless, to nourish those that are hungry, to nourish those that are in need of education, to build schools, to whatever it might be, to teach, to make a difference, because that's how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit works by giving us this spark of fire, this spark of love, this spark of discernment in which we say, wow, I want to make a difference. And with Father Henry, he obviously had that. I don't know how he said, do you ever find out how he chose Newport Beach? Probably a good decision, by the way, but.
Well, he knew that people in Newport Beach was very generous.
Right.
He did his homework in that time. And Father Carey was having a retreat, so he's the only one who responded to him that he can come that weekend to preach, because there was the weekend of priest retreat.
So this is Father Carey Ballou of Our Lady of Queen of Angels, who we've had on the show here. Correct. And his heart is huge, and so he opened his heart up to have Father Henry come. And but you kind of adopted Patrick, Father Henry, and some of you both did. Tell us about that.
Well, gosh, we went to dinner with him that night, and I felt like he was a brother, long-lost brother. It was one of those instant sort of affinity kind of love affair situations where you meet somebody, and the very first time, within a few minutes of sitting down, you feel like there's a brother that you could share anything in your life with. And I know you've had those moments. And so from vastly different backgrounds and cultures, and there was this instant awareness, affinity. And I think it was something about his, you talked about his faith, his deep trust in God that touched us. A halo effect, I'd say. And it was an instant sort of connection for both Monica and I.
So we've been invited to three at Spiritful Hearts, three different African countries. We've been invited to actually more than three. We've been invited to go to Ghana, to Nigeria, Sierra Leone, and actually Uganda, and now Kenya. So that's five.
Oh, beautiful.
Right now I'm 0-5, which means that we just haven't done it yet. We're building it.
Right.
But I believe very strongly that perhaps with both of you or with you, Patrick, post-ordination, that we're going to go to Africa. And have you been to Kenya?
Have not, but I'd like to visit Father Henry. Maybe we'll go together.
Well, not maybe. I believe we are. And we've got a nationwide full of radio listeners that are praying for us right now to go together, because I believe very strongly in the power of the Holy Spirit, and as you do, as you both do. And there's no coincidences. And the fact that you've been involved in Africa, and we have all these African countries that are coming out of nowhere for us in our ministry and inviting us to minister to the poorest of the poor, inviting us to minister to these people. But I believe that Kenya is a very special place, and Father Henry is a very special place. And wouldn't you like to see the orphanage?
Oh, I'm dying for that.
Dying for that.
You know,
well,
just to know that we are part of this beautiful miracle. And I know that we're just a little piece of that puzzle.
Well, we're going to be right back to talk more about miracles by living love in action. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back here high atop the Tower of Hope on Empowered by the Spirit, talking about living our faith, love in action, outreach ministry with two very special people, a diaconate candidate, Patrick Bartolik, and his wife, Monica. And we were talking about their being part of a large group of people building a school, an orphanage, and a school, right? It's both?
It's an orphanage and school now.
Yes. And Kenya, and how we're going to be going to Africa together.
You know? That's right.
And we're very excited about that.
Yes.
And all these miracles that are happening. And you two are a miracle. Tell us about how you met in your family.
Oh, my gosh. I'm a real estate broker, and this beautiful young lady walked into my office one day. I thought she was the agent presenting an offer. Turned out she was just the mortgage broker doing it. And I said, wow, you've got a lucky husband. I was already reaching out. It was an immediate attraction for me. I don't think she noticed me, Deacon Steve. But I said, gosh, you must have a lucky husband. She had her wedding ring on. It turned out not to be. It was a camouflage to make sure guys weren't chasing girls. You know? So, you know, from that moment forward, within 6 months, we were married, and I knew she was special from the day I met her. And I think, been a tremendous journey 18 years later.
Well, you two are very special to each other. And what's your thoughts on what happened in the beginning, Monica?
Well, I knew God had a purpose. I believe that God chose Patrick for me. It was a very difficult time for me in that moment when I met him. It was a moment of decision that I had to make in that time. And my mother said to me, "This is the man that God have given this for you." And I came back to in that time I was not in the Catholic Church. I was at the Cristo Cathedral. And I came and I talked to my pastor, Juan Carlos Ortiz and Marta. And I said, "This man," and they said, "This is a good man, Monica, and you follow him wherever he go." And Patrick said, "Yes, but are we going to raise a family Catholic?" So I always, my friends say at the Cristo Cathedral, that was more easy to make the Christ Cathedral a Cathedral Christ than Patrick to become to be Christian in the Christ Cathedral. So today we are here, and I'm so happy because this was my place that I was worshiping the Lord by the time that Dr. Chuller, and now I'm just so happy that Patrick brought me back to the Catholic Church. I was Catholic, but I was not practiced Catholic. So when we got married, one of the things that we agreed that the family will be raised Catholic, and I decided to embrace my church as I was here and began to be my family. And I knew that I had to feel home. So I did everything possible at Our Lady Queen of Angel to make home for me. And Our Lady Queen of Angel welcomed me with so much beautiful, open heart. Father Bill was there, and he was very open to hear me, to grieving, supposedly leaving the other church to go there. And by the time, we just knew there was only one. And I'm just so happy that Patrick brought me back to practice Catholic and to brought me to love Holy Mother and the whole Catholic Church. So that's the best deal I got by Mary Patrick, is to come to the Catholic Church and to live a fulfilled. So when he told me about Deacon, I thought, oh my God, that's what I've been praying for. But so I'm so happy to be back to the Catholic Church.
Well, we're so thrilled that you're here and part of the Catholic Church. And Patrick, you also have a son, correct, Christopher?
Yeah, Christopher. Yeah, he's 18.
He's 18 and yeah. One heck of a goalkeeper.
Oh, he's a great goalkeeper. He's a great athlete. He's just a great kid,
yeah.
I tell you.
He was part of the interview early on, right?
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
He was there with,
4.5 years ago? Is that years ago?
Yeah, almost 5 years ago now.
So he was probably, about 12 or 13 then?
Yeah, young kid. They changed so much over that time frame, don't they?
I know, it's
like a young man now.
And does he know where he's going to school yet?
He was accepted at several schools. He wants to play sports. He's been waiting on soccer. He's also being looked at to play football. He's decided he's going to play football.
You're kidding me!
He's an incredible punter, and God's blessed him with incredible talent. He's going to go punt the ball, and I think he'll probably play at the major college level.
No kidding!
Yeah,
fantastic!
Yeah. God willing.
Can we score tickets?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Can you share yet some of the schools he's looking at?
He's going to play at a junior college to start with.
Okay.
He's going to be at OCC. He's already talked to the coach. He's punting this year.
Oh, great.
And his goal would be to end up at, one of the Pac-12 schools within a year.
Can I do the UCLA 8 count for you?
UCLA is where he wants to go. That's where he's looking. And his nephew Cole is already there as a running back, so he wants to join together with him.
I love USC fans. My wife graduated from USC, so don't hold that against me. But in any case,
we're Bruin fans.
Yeah,
too.
We are Bruin fans. So in any case, that's fantastic. So what made you, Patrick, say yes to the diaconate?
You know, I teach catechism, sixth grade catechism, and I'm always telling my kids, your homework every week is to go home and pray, talk to God, lead your family in prayer, reach out, and then listen to the Lord as well. And one of my great favorite saints, St. John Vianney, said, pray as you can, not as you cannot, but you've got to listen too. And then I always tell them, you have to also reach out and do some small thing to serve others. So really, for me, it's just, I think, following that my own advice to them, that it's time to get busy. You can either glorify yourself in this life or you can glorify God. And how do you glorify God? Reach out and love others. Reach out and give to others. For Monica and I think we're both in the same mindset that it's an imperative to find ways to give back. And the diaconate, I think, is an additional step that says, look, I want to be that bridge. I want to find a way to serve others even more fully than we're doing now.
So over the past 4.5 years, let's say, pushing 5 years, I guess, what has been some of the most impactful part of the diaconate formation for you?
Oh, gosh, there's so many moments. I would say that...
Meeting me, right?
But me, clearly. Well, there's no question meeting you. And there's nobody I would run into that would argue with that, I can tell you. Because
no,
Steve, even in this room, it's the truth.
You're way too kind. Now, what's been...
One of the things that moves your heart, of course, is that you begin to ask yourself, why me, Lord? How did this happen? How is this great blessing being offered as a possibility? The camaraderie, the other candidates and aspirants on the journey, the number of people you run into in the church who are working to provide you this opportunity, it's really overwhelming. Just an incredible effort. The collegiality of the priests and the deacons and the wives, it's overwhelming at a certain point. The amount of love, kindness, and this people focused in the same direction. It's really a great blessing. It's a great privilege.
Now, Monica, you've been going to most of the classes, if not all the classes, a far majority of them. And what have you gotten out of the classes?
The same, like Patrick said, there is just so much information that we get and so much opportunity to serve the Lord, like go to jails and serve the jails and to see the home. There's so many ministries that we can serve and just the people that you surrounded and the willingness to do anything for the Lord is just amazing for me. And the gift that now, you know, my life had to match for what I've been teaching. And I had to begin to be acting like a mature person. And the Lord, it just gave me a great honor. I don't know. It just feels so good to feel the daughter of God and working for him and doing for him and loving him and everything we do. Because, you know, now in my mind it's like everything I do belong to the Lord. And before I have that little kind of like, you know, do a good church, but at home I can, and now it's everything had to match.
We have been purchased, my brothers and sisters, with a price. And Jesus has formed us to love him. And the Baltimore Catechism got it right?
No,
to know him, to love him, and to serve him. That hasn't changed, you know, and we have a new catechism, but the reality is that hasn't changed. We are created to know God, but we're created to put that love that we receive from him in action. My brothers and sisters, some of you right now are getting that urge, the urge to enter into religious life, whether it be a priesthood, a sister, an urge to be a deacon, an urge certainly to be a lay leader, whatever it might be, say yes to it.
Amen.
You know, one of the things that my good friend, Father Ben Tran, and I, we often say to each other back and forth is, thank you for your yes. Thank you for your yes, Patrick. Thank you for your yes, Monica. Yes to the Lord, because that's what it comes down to. My brothers and sisters, as you listen to this, just say yes to the Lord. You will never regret it. You're still in a very exciting time in formation, but once you become deacon, it is like it's the most incredible thing you could ever imagine. It's far beyond what you think. It's almost like in 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter where it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart can comprehend the blessings and what God has in store for us, right, in heaven.
Beautiful.
But it's also... what happens when you say yes to him, whether it be in the diaconate or in any sort of other religious life, vocation, or any sort of calling that you have to do ministry, whatever it is, you can never underestimate the incredible love, satisfaction that you get from the Lord.
Yeah, and I'd say that first step is the tough one. I think I was talking to someone the other night, and a little bit of apprehension about really what will it all be like, and are you really ready? And I don't know if we're ever really ready in our own mind. You have to take that leap of faith. And it's like marriage. The moment, the day before, the day of, as you walk down the aisle, there is trepidation. And as soon as you're married, it's gone. And there's this great joy and this celebration. And I believe, and I'm hopeful based on what I've heard and what you've shared and others, that it'll be much like that.
We're going to be right back with Patrick and Monica Bartolik. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit, talking about love in action. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are back here on high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral in the Diocese of Orange, California, in Garden Grove. And we're here with two wonderful people, Patrick and Monica Bartolik, and we're talking about putting love into action. And when we think of love, and you said it earlier, Monica, we think of the Blessed Mother also, in addition to the incredible love the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit has for us. He gave us a mother, a spiritual mother, to love. And that spiritual mother is involved, from my vantage point, in virtually everything that we do, interceding for us, loving us, guiding us, giving us insights, the rosary being such a powerful, powerful weapon against evil, but blessing for families, healing of marriages, healing of families. Your thoughts on the role of the Blessed Mother in your life?
You know, the relation with the mother is a very important for the child. If the child have a healthy relation with the mother, that child can be reach other areas in their life. And the psychology area that I had studied before, too, I saw how important was my relation with the mother. And I need that relation with Holy Mother to start growing in a healthy way with my relation with others, where I can feel that loving, caring of her to breed me to say yes to the Father. So when I'm studying the life of Mary, and I see that she was a humble woman, she need very few, but then she had everything. And to see how she said yes in the moments there was more doubt than anything, and that yes made so impact to the world, teach me how to say yes in many occasions. And I always pray that I will have the willingness to obey as she did. And for Christmas, I always remember that her Christmas was love, not just getting ready to get stuff. So I try to remember how she walked the days before baby Jesus born.
She said, "Let it be done to me according to thy word," and according to the word of the angel Gabriel, "let it be done to me." Mm-hmm. And that unequivocal yes, that unconditional yes, Patrick, that is such an example for us to have that yes without really getting it, right? I mean, it's like, right. Well, how is this going to happen?
Right.
You know, Holy Spirit will come upon you and empower you. But what's that mean? You know, I mean, right. There are still right. So many question marks that she had. And so many people try to figure things out. But the Blessed Mother is saying, don't try and figure it out. Just be humble, as Monica said. Just be obedient. Just say yes to God.
Right.
And great miracles will happen.
Yeah, and I think you're right. She is, Monica said this as well, she's the great fiat, the great yes, our great example, really, of all time. The Mother of God, we look at her continuing to show up and say yes, yes to her Son and yes to us, to reach out and the Lord's and Fatima, but the great fruits that are coming from her outreach that calls us back to her Son constantly, through love, peace, reconciliation, conversion, penance, fasting, and more prayer, constant love. It's an amazing outreach. And you mentioned you were just in Mexico City at the Basilica where the Tilma is, where the great miracle with the Virgin of Guadalupe occurred with Juan Diego, Saint Juan Diego now. It's been an ongoing love affair with mankind to reach out to us. To say yes to her Son and to say yes to us.
And I do have to give a little commercial to the Basilica there of Our Lady of Guadalupe. because it's absolutely unbelievable, you know, and what the Mexican people have done there with the old basilica that's so beautiful, mm-hmm. albeit sinking, and the new basilica that's amazing. When I went there and looked up at that tilma, it looked as if it happened yesterday. There was no fading.
Yeah.
The colors were brilliant. It was absolutely unbelievable. And then when you put on top of that what happened in 1921 mm. when the government of Mexico at that time wanted to stamp out the Catholic Church.
Right.
And the president, I believe, at the time had someone come in underneath flowers, a bomb
right.
that totally disintegrated everything in the area. I mean, the crucifix, they actually have the crucifix there mm-hmm. is just like twisted metal.
Right.
And everything blew up except the tilma. There was absolutely no damage done by the tilma.
Well, we call that is the divine photo. That photo came from heaven. So it's a divine photo that they cannot be destroyed. And recently, Bauer Museum have a exposition of Our Lady Guadalupe. And you know what? I was so surprised that many friends, they didn't know the history of Our Lady Guadalupe. And I take it for granted as a Mexican, as I grew up with that. But I think today many people, they don't even know that it's total and a divine photo that is not created by no one, and they haven't find who couldn't make that. They said, so it's a photo of Holy Mother given from God.
Well, do yourself a favor, my brothers and sisters, and look up Our Lady of Guadalupe on the internet or whatever resource that you want to look up. It is amazing. There were 7 million Aztec Indians mm-hmm. that were converted in 5 years. And there's only 5 million, the same time the Reformation, 5 million left the Catholic Church to become Protestant. But the Lord put 7 million Indians mm-hmm. to be converted in 5 years. And prior to that, the Indians had really rejected Christianity for the most part, with the exception of Juan Diego and his uncle and a few others, mm-hmm. but with very, very few, because they didn't want to give up their many wives that they have and their way of living. But in Our Lady of Guadalupe, she has around her waist there that ribbon that showed that she was pregnant in the way the Aztecs would do it,
right.
the way her hair was done as a virgin. She had one sign after another, you know, that showed the Aztecs that she was one of them.
Right.
And only the Aztecs knew. And her cloak, of course, having the constellation done that night.
Right.
There was one sign after another to the Aztecs, and then other signs to the Spanish, so that the Spanish could relate to it. It's one of the absolute miracles. We often talk about the shroud, which is also incredible. But the tilma is certainly as incredible, and in some ways even more incredible, in my opinion, but certainly as incredible, with all the different signs that are still there.
And today, with the technology, they had even find more things. You know, in the beginning, they said the painting was beautiful, but now they found even the temperature of the tilma is as a human body.
It's amazing. And the reflection in her eyes,
mm-hmm.
reflection in her eyes are the reflection of the people, the bishop and so forth,
Juan Diego.
Who were there in Juan Diego, is actually, if you examine the eyes, you'll see that.
Under a microscope.
Under a microscope. I mean, yeah. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But the peace that you experience the moment you get there,
yeah,
the moment that you're in front of the tilma is just amazing. Our granddaughter was 5 years old, and we were all in front of the basilica, and she was looking and talking with Holy Mother, and then she finished, and then she's looking for holy water around the basilica. This is about 5 years ago. And finally, she found water and put it in her rubber band and put it in his hair. And we didn't know what she was doing. So that night, we're home, and she said to us, "You see, Holy Mother told me my hair is going to be curly and pink tonight." And in her, this five-year little girl have a relation and talking with Holy Mother about what she need. And that's what she want. And she, still today, she said that her hair was pink and curly.
So my brothers and sisters, the Blessed Mother is here to intercede for us. When we talk about love in action, the Blessed Mother will help guide us as a mother would. She helps intercede for us. And we're so blessed to have both of you on the show. You guys are really a model for me of love in action and making a difference in the world and living out your Catholic faith. Thank you, Patrick. Thank you, Monica, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Deacon Steve. Great privilege to be here with you.
And thank you for being a deacon, and thank you for having this beautiful radio that it provides a lot of opportunity for people to go deep in their faith.
And if I can just add one thing, the Holy Mother, as you were mentioning, Steve, is constantly reaching out to remind us how important the family unit is, a mother and a father and children. We live in a world that is challenged at best with the tension of forgetting this, of not understanding how important. And she reminds us that it's the family unit that is the first opportunity to understand God and God's love. And how critical that is to maintain a fidelity to that. And now, so it's just a wonderful thing, the constant reminder from her.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this family unit, for the marriage, for children. We thank you and praise you for the gift of life, the gift of yes, the gift of serving you, Lord God, the gift of being chosen by you. Send forth your Holy Spirit upon us through the intercession of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Bless us and heal us in every way, and send us to build your church. In Jesus' holy name we pray, and I bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. We'll be with you next week at the same time.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio.